you in so-called midlife and found yourself suddenly single after probably years of marriage and you're absolutely shitting it? Maybe you're on a divorce downer and have zero idea how the fuck to move on. Or you know how to in theory, but it's just not happening. If that's you, you're in the right place. This is the Divorce Chapter podcast, where we turn the unexpected divorce plot twist into a new and improved happily ever after. I'm Sarah Elizabeth, divorce coach and mentor, and I'm with you on this mission to rewrite our stories and make this next chapter the best goddamn one yet. Hello and welcome to the Divorce Chapter podcast, where we turn the unexpected divorce plot twist into happily ever after, with me, your host, Sarah Elizabeth. And this week we have another wonderful guest to help us with making our divorce chapter the best goddamn one yet, and that is Elisa Lindstrom. And Elisa is a decluttering expert with her business Dear Loves, Just Breathe. It makes me want to say it like, dear, just breathe. Elisa helps people to declutter their homes and their lives in a simple and authentic way, whether you're downsizing, moving house, or just generally need to get your shit in order. That's my words, not hers. Elisa works with individuals as well as families to sort your stuff once and for all, offering a variety of programs for busy people so that decluttering becomes manageable and, dare I say it, even fun. So
I know, is that crazy? thank you. So good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the decluttering world.
So I have been decluttering, I don't know, since I was in my 20s, and I lived in New York City. And if you know anything about New York City, you know that the apartments aren't big. And so I had to figure out how to live in very small rooms where I was sharing an apartment with, you know, roommates and so on and so forth. And I then got married and we moved to the Chicago area and we lived in a 900 square foot condo and had a baby. And I don't know if you understand how tight that would be, but I kept on trying to make the home feel spacious and big by decluttering. And this was when minimalism started getting really big. It was 2009 that my kid was born. Minimalism started getting big. So I was doing all of these things and I was reading all of the blogs and reading all of the books and doing all of the programs and doing everything I could to declutter, to make the home feel spacious. And it was really, looking back at it now, it was really about me trying to fix a very broken marriage and trying to make everything better, like very codependent of me trying to make everything better. Yeah. And what happened was when he left, when our kid was five, he left and everything changed in the best possible way. And so for the past 10 years, I have been figuring out who I am. And in doing so, also like connecting to myself and using that. And also, which I haven't brought up, the fact that I have a history as a social worker / therapist, combine both of those together to figure out how to really declutter and how to really make my home a representation of myself and my child's and really make it a place of peace. And that was my goal. And as I was doing that, I was also helping my friends and really enjoying decluttering, which I hadn't before. Like there's a lot of shame to me with decluttering about like what I was doing or if I was doing it right or doing it wrong or having a perfectly clean house and all of that. And I was able to take all of that and just create this sort of way of decluttering to honor myself, to honor my child, and to do it without shame. And then figuring out how to help other people do that. That's sort of been my thing. And that's why it's Dear Loves, Just Breathe, because it's not about shame and it's not about shoulds, and it's about empowering yourself and connecting with yourself to declutter. So that's what it's about. Yeah.
That's the back. I love that. I love that. That dear loves just breathe. It does make you want to go just breathe.
Because there
is so much shame and kind of guilt, I think, around decluttering, isn't there? Like, because people think, you know, people associate hoarders and there's so much, obviously, emotional attachment and stuff within that. But at a surface level, people do have this kind of judgment almost, don't they, of messy and, you know, order. And that kind of stuff, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And our society kind of pushes that, right? Of like all these TV shows of what a perfect house looks like. And so then we look at our homes and then we feel terrible about it. Like, oh, I don't have the latest couch or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's where you started. That's so interesting. And I love that you're a social worker as well. aligned. And I love New York City as well. I've got a tattoo of New York on me.
Oh, cool.
And I've got the geographical coordinates to Times Square in case I ever get lost. You know where to send
me. So at least you can get back to Times Square.
Which is very chaotic when we're talking about minimalist and breathing.
Right. Very, very chaotic.
So I saw on your website that you were a messy child. Now, I was a really messy child as well. And it wasn't on the surface. I had like things out, was all in order. And I had collections of things that were all in a kind of order. But all the mess was shoved under my bed. And then my nanny used to come and visit every now and then. And she'd turn it into this big game where we played shops and she'd make me get everything out and then buy it all off me, air quotes, buy it and throw it all in the bin. So I have become a lot more ordered as an adult when I had to adult myself and have responsibility for my own space. But would you say there's hope for anyone regardless of how messy you have been in your life to date?
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely. There's so much hope. And I think we're just not really taught the right ways. I don't want to say the right ways because that's making it a should, but like a good way that works for who we are. I think we're taught certain ways of decluttering or keeping clean or whatever. And it's really based on one way of seeing it, as opposed to acknowledging that there's such a big spectrum of the way people see items and sort and the way that their brain works. It's always so different. And just acknowledging, okay, maybe you can't declutter like Marie Kondo. Yeah. And that's okay. Like there are going to be people that can declutter like that. And then you just find the way to declutter that works best for you, or you find the way to keep things organized that works best for you. Right.
Yeah.
And by the way, I have totally been known to throw things in closets. And so I understand the story of hiding things under your bed.
As a decluttering expert, do people come and check in your cupboard?
They don't. Honestly, though, a few years ago, I moved in with my partner. And when we merged all of our stuff together, we did more decluttering. And coming into our home, it does not feel cluttered. And so I don't think, I mean, they could totally look into the cupboards. I haven't noticed if anyone has, but they wouldn't find a whole lot of clutter. Although on my lives, I do open drawers so people see what it looks like. So
That's brilliant. So Alyssa, obviously this is a divorce podcast. So what do you think some of the problems might be that people face in divorce decluttering, if you like?
Mm-hmm. I think it really depends on the situation for the divorce, right? Like if you leave or if your ex-partner is the one that leaves and if there's children involved. So the first thing I would suggest, I don't know if you're asking me what I would suggest when you're decluttering, the first thing I would suggest is to only declutter your own stuff. I always say don't declutter your kids' stuff and I offer solutions to that, but specifically, don't declutter any kids' stuff at all during a divorce. They're already going through enough on their own of like my whole world is changing, and asking them to get rid of stuff is just, it's, they're not emotionally ready to handle that. For the most part, I'm just gonna, like, if they're under the age of like 16, they probably are not emotionally ready. And even if they're older than that, they're not ready to handle it. It's just a big step. In terms of you and your ex-partner's stuff, I would also say don't declutter their stuff. Even if all of the time that you have been together, you've wanted to declutter their stuff so much, and now here's your chance, they're leaving or you're leaving and you just want to get rid of it and throw it away because you're so angry at them.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Take the high road. It's better in court that you don't do it. And it's also better long-term in terms of your, like, and no matter how angry they got you, no matter how much you want to rip apart all of their stuff, no matter how much you want to throw it out the window and be dramatic like you're on TV or throw it in the bin or what have you, don't declutter their stuff. Just focus on your stuff. If you are leaving, just take the stuff that you absolutely love, that matters to you, that is an expression of who you are. Yeah. And if they are leaving, just hold on to it for a bit. And what I want to say for all of it is there's so much emotion in divorce and there's so much emotion in stuff. And acknowledging the grief that's going on, even if you hate that person, there's still grief. I'm sure you talk about this in your podcast, but like, there's so much grief, and just acknowledging it and being like, maybe I don't declutter anything. Maybe I just take what I need and take the extra stuff. Or if I'm staying, maybe I just leave the stuff for a few months while I grieve what's going on until I'm ready. Throwing things away in anger and haste is not necessarily the best way to declutter. It helps to have some space, mental space, so you can make some physical space. Yeah.
Hello, it's still me, but I'm just coming in here to quickly ask you if you have joined the Divorce Book Club yet. If not, what are you doing with your life? We dive into a new book every month related to divorce, relationships, or all things personal development. So if you want to join us in making our divorce chapter frigging amazing, at the end of the episode, get yourself over to www.thedivorcebookclub.com. I'll see you in there. And now, back to the episode. Definitely. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? There's so much emotion that goes through with a divorce. You know, you said you've been divorced yourself.
I am divorced, yes. Yeah. 10 years ago,
yeah. So, yeah, you know you've been there. It's really hard, isn't it? Do you think that there is a lot around part of the challenge with decluttering and part of the issue with holding on to stuff is already an emotional attachment to stuff that then when you're going for a divorce, it does make it that much harder then, doesn't it, to separate what you actually really do want to keep. And so, yeah, definitely having that space.
Yeah, definitely. The space is so needed because when you're decluttering, you can't be on an emotional roller coaster. If you really want to declutter in a way that's very authentic to you, you need to be kind of in a good emotional place to really end up with a home that you really feel good about, you know, like a very intentional home, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the goal of post-divorce decluttering, is a very intentional home that feels safe and feels like there's a lot of love. Yeah.
Yeah, because when I first moved out of my marital home, I moved out because his mum still lived there in a kind of granny annex. So I made the decision to leave. And it was really hard to decide what to take and also to condense that into kind of quite a big house into a very much smaller one and working out what to take. And I did a podcast episode on that actually, because it's really hard to kind of think through that and work through what you just want to take in anger or just want to spite or what you actually really want. And, you know, there were things like I took one bedside cabinet and left the other one. Which was really weird. But it was, yeah.
But it makes sense. And technically it's 50-50. So, right?
It was like one of those things. So how would you like advise people to manage that kind of emotional element to decluttering?
It's so hard. Mm. It's so hard. And I actually have a friend that's going through this right now as we speak. Right. And in terms of deciding what to take, if you're leaving the home, I mean, obviously take the things that you're going to need to set up home, right? Like the cups and the plates and the silverware that you need. I mean, and it does depend. How long have you been with this person? Has it been 20 years? Because that's a lot of stuff that's your shared stuff. Yeah, I think it's so difficult because it's on a case-by-case basis, right? I don't feel like I can just say, oh, do this or do that. And I think it really depends on the items and the story behind the items, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely take all of your own stuff. But
all your own stuff. What would be your advice around specific things like photos, particularly mm-hmm. wedding photos, the wedding album and, you know, all of those kinds of presents that he might have bought or, you know, I think wedding photos, there's often quite a lot of debate about do you keep the photos, do you give them to your kids, do you throw them away, what do you do with the wedding photos, but just generally photos of you as a couple. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, for me it doesn't necessarily help to have that up through the divorce process, but it's also what do you do with them, you know?
Right.
Nowadays we've got more photos on, you know, digital photos rather than photos around the house, but it's both really, isn't it?
Yeah. And then there's also the aspect of kids. And so, so what I did, I'm not going to suggest, but I was really angry and I went around the house and I took all of the photos of both of us and like put them away, right? Like I did not want to see them. And, you know, he had left. So my kid and I were still at home. And, you know, my dad actually was like, Alisa, you've got to chill on the decluttering of his stuff. Like you've got to just like keep a few things out. So, you know, I kept a few things out. What I ended up doing with the wedding photos, because there was a kid involved, I had a really good friend come over and my story is that he left and it was a big surprise to me.
Yeah.
So I was a mess and I couldn't figure out what I had done wrong, right? People pleaser over here. I couldn't figure out what I had done wrong. And so I had a friend come and we made it into a ceremony and we wrapped all of the wedding albums and all of the wedding photos and all of the pictures of the two of us in, and we put it in a container, a plastic container, and we wrapped it all and we did a whole ceremony, a little woo-woo, but we did a whole ceremony and very, very kindly put them in this box. And I put it, we had a storage unit in our apartment building or condo or flat, as you would say, in the basement of that, we had a storage space. So I put it in there and just left it there.
Right.
And then when my kid was old enough, I said, these are yours and you can choose what you want to do with, you know, your dad is remarried, do what you want with it. And so they have it in their room and it's
okay
when they need to take it out and look and see the family together at the wedding or whatever, they can do that. And so that was I really think that that's a great way of doing it. It's a great temporary holding space for it, right?
Yeah.
When you're super angry or super sad or like completely confused or any of those things, it's a great thing of just like putting a pause on it and saying, you know, I can come back to this when I'm in a better place.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So what you comes back to what you were saying about having that space and allowing the grief and then kind of thinking about it, right?
Exactly.
And so you've got quite a lot of different programs that you offer, haven't you? That quite more manageable programs. You break it down into manageable steps, don't you? And you do that online. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, I do one-on-one in person in the Chicago area, yeah. But then I do a lot of work with grief. It's amazing. I've been seeing it over and over of like how we hold on to things because of grief. Mm-hmm. We can't handle something, so we're just like stuffing things away.
Yeah.
And I also have a quick online decluttering thing for people who haven't started. And then I've just created this big program called Declutter Your World, where over 6 months we go through sort of step by step, room by room, but then also we go through the deeper, more emotional stuff part of decluttering, the stuff that's difficult to declutter. So in the case of divorce or death of a spouse or a parent and trying to declutter, going through that stuff, we work through that as well. Yeah.
That's amazing, because that's so important, isn't it? That
it is.
Kind of going deeper into the why we keep hold of stuff and why we struggle so much to throw things away.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's so easy to just go online and find that, you know, 10 things you can declutter from your kitchen today. But they don't say, like, what do you do if you've been, you know, given something and you don't want it, but you don't feel right giving it away? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or anything like, oh, this was a bus ticket from the first time I took the bus with so-and-so, you know, like
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah,
it's just like, yeah. They don't talk about that stuff. So I really getting into that. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So what would be your one key piece of advice if you could give listeners to take away? What would be your one tip for thinking about with decluttering after a divorce?
So first of all, if you're knee deep in your divorce.
Yeah.
Breathe. Breathe. Know that you're going through it and you're going to be okay. And it's okay to grieve it. And it's okay to give yourself the time and the space to declutter when you're ready. That yeah. You do not have to be perfect. And you do not have to be perfect in decluttering, and you do not have to be perfect in how you manage the stuff. It's, you know, give yourself the grace that you're human.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. It's so true, isn't it? Because it is, you know, one of the things I always say is breath by breath, step by step. It's because it's so overwhelming. That initial bit is so overwhelming, especially when it quite often is unexpected.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so, yeah.
And you kind of, I always describe that time as like an earthquake where it's just like your whole world has just crashed.
Oh, and for sure.
The landscape is nothing like, you know, and it's kind of, it feels so overwhelming. So I just love that. Just take it one step at a time and just remember it doesn't have to be perfect. You're just human. I've got one more question for you.
Okay.
As you may know, I host the Divorce Book Club, which is a monthly membership podcast kind of thing based on all books like divorce, relationships, self-development. If you had one book that has had a huge impact on you, what would it be and why?
Okay. So it's okay that it's nonfiction, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. For some reason, I love fiction, but I get so involved in it that then I get angry because I'm like, it took up my whole weekend. I had so many things to do.
I'm involved with the characters.
I couldn't stop reading. I couldn't put it down. Stop it. That's not fair. So I try to just like read a nonfiction. So I would say it's a nonfiction book. I actually read it when I started dating my now ex-husband.
Okay.
And so it's called Coach Yourself to Success. And I do not know the name of the author. I can get that to you.
Okay.
She actually talks about, it was my first introduction to life coaching. And she talks about decluttering.
Oh.
As a way of making your life better. And so that was actually like a little seed was planted by her for that.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. So like coaching your way to success, because now you're getting married again.
I am. I am getting married.
kind of
like a crazy person.
Success story. So you come through the divorce and get married again. So that's where it's always nice to know that, you know, happy ever after can happen in other ways, can't it?
It can. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Alyssa, thank you so much. Where can my listeners find you if they want to know more?
So the best place to go is to hop onto my website, because if they are a fan of blogs, they can read my blog. It comes out every week. And if they are a fan of podcasts, they can hear my podcast. They just click the tab for podcasts and they can listen to my podcast. So those are the best ways to hear more from me. Yeah.
And I'll leave all the links in the show notes. So it's dearlovesjustbreathe.com.
Yep. .com. Right. Yep.
Brilliant. Okay. Alyssa, you have been brilliant. Thank you so much for coming
on the
podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. No, thank you. It's been great. Thank you too to listeners for listening in to Alyssa and the divorce chapter. And I will be back in your beautiful earbuds again next week. So until then, sending you loads of love. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to this episode of the Divorce Chapter podcast. If you've enjoyed the episode, please could you do your girl a solid and rate and review the podcast. Wherever you listen, there should be an option to rate and review. And honestly, I can't tell you just how much it helps the podcast algorithm thingamajigs, whatever. And bonus love for me if you share the episode with your friends and on your socials and tag me in it at the Divorce Chapter. Thank you again so very, very much. I appreciate every single one of you beautiful humans. Have an amazing day.